Well, good morning. Good morning. I want to welcome you to West Houston Baptist Church, where we are a body of believers who is very serious about spreading the gospel, also empowering our disciples to follow Christ daily. If this is your first time here, and I want to shout out to the family in the middle, can you guys stand up so we can welcome you guys? Thank you so much. Good to have you here. If this is your first time here or you're watching us online, we want to welcome you as well. We just want to let you know that you are welcome to belong before you believe. So thank you for being here and thank you for joining us. So this morning, obviously many of you guys know is Father's Day. I want to take this moment, kind of show appreciation to our fathers. So for those of you who are fathers, go ahead and stand up and let us give an applause to you. Nick, is that you standing up?
I have two cats.
For the others, I encourage you to use this day as an opportunity to go tell your father, tell somebody who is a father figure to you. Just tell them how much you appreciate them for all the sacrifices they've done. One thing I was able to understand more as I've gotten older is you don't know how much you ought to love your parents until you have kids. Amen? Yeah. It's different. Whatever you think, how much you think that you love them now, wait until you have kids. You'll push them more and more. I'm telling you this now. The reason why is wherever stage of you are in your life, just don't burn that bridge with your parents. Don't make any decision that you would regret later in life. So let's pray before we get started. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time. We ask and invite the Holy Spirit to come into this place, to come and convict and to change us. We ask that you open our hearts, open our minds to receive your truth. And let Jesus' name be exalted in everything that is said and done this morning. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So the title of this message this morning is, Dad, Watch Me. Since it's Father's Day, of course, I will be talking to the fathers today. However, in our group, we have many young men who are in their single stage, maybe dating stage, maybe young careers. I haven't forgotten about you. We will talk about you as well. And I will talk about the married men, to the married men. And shout out and congrats to the three new husbands, Chi, Nick, and Billy. Congrats to you guys. Just some short I want to say is that you guys are doing awesome. Keep doing what you're doing. Keep pursuing God. Lead your family how it's supposed to be. Continue to live by that standard that God has called you so that way you and your family and your children will be blessed. So you keep doing what y'all doing. Because I believe that each stage of our life, God has a calling. He has a saying. He has a purpose that builds that foundation for the next part of our life. So this morning, I just want to share two points. You can say it's two points, two responsibility, two qualities for each stage of those life as a young man, 2 points for the married man, and 2 points for the fathers. Because these qualities and responsibilities, I believe that God calls us to pursue as a man of God. And for the young gals that are here, this is the type of young man that you should pursue. Okay? So this message do apply to you. And for the married woman and those that have kids, this is a checklist for your husband. This is how you keep him accountable. This is what the standard that Christ has given, so that way you can keep him accountable so he can lead. Okay, because at the end of the day, you have to remember, God will judge him on how he leads. And he will judge you on how well you submit. First things first, to the young men, can we pull up 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33? I think our sound people fell asleep already. Oh, it's up there? Okay, I'll just turn around and read. The first verse I want to read is, do not be deceived. Bad company ruined good morals. I believe one of the most important things for a young man is who you surround yourself with. There's a saying, you are who you hang around. And I believe that truly. And then there's also another saying, show me your friends and I'll show you your future. When we are young, even now, as I've gotten older, you know, we are easily influenced. So it's very important that you surround yourself with godly people. So then you ask, how do you do that? Well, for starter, you can join a small group. You can join Bible study. You can spend time with those that will help build and encourage your faith in Christ. And maybe from that small group, you can find an accountability partner. Somebody who won't judge you. Somebody who you can relate to. Somebody who loves you for who you are. And here's the hard part. And won't be afraid to hurt your feelings to tell the truth. And another example a younger man can learn from is having an older brother or a mentor. Who is that person to you? Do you even have one? Is this person, can you talk to them anytime about anything or anywhere? What can you learn from them? You can learn a lot. You can learn that they can give you the wisdom from their experience with their walk in Christ. They can teach you their success, failures, trials, marriage, parenting, work, etc., etc. You know, they can teach you spiritual maturity. They can teach you how to follow Christ faithfully, not just in seasons or not just for a season. They can teach you accountability, learning how to lead your family. They can give you guidance in relationships, helps in character development, life skills, living examples, and again, that list goes on. And if you don't have one, I encourage you to find one. The second thing I believe a young man must do, and this is kind of cliche, okay? This is not rocket science. This is not news breaking. This is something that you guys know from a very young age. It's pretty simple, and it's just honor your father and mother. That's easier said than done to some. I've been there. I've done my mistake. It's easier said than done, okay? We have to understand that our parents are not perfect. They're human, just like us. And in matter of fact, they have given and sacrificed a part of their life to raise you up to who you are. You know, they're not perfect. They make mistakes. They're human. But God tells us to honor them anyway. We do it because that's what God commands. It's that simple. We don't need any other reason. What that does is it reflects our obedience to him, and it helps us build strong foundation. So we can go to the next slide, Exodus 20, verse 12. Honor your father and mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. It's pretty simple. What if they say, oh, my parents wasn't good to me? God says, honor your father and mother. What if they abandoned me? Honor your father and mother. They didn't love me. They didn't affirm me. They hurt me. Maybe they mistreated your mom. Maybe your dad wasn't treated right. It doesn't matter the case. God still calls you to honor them. For I am the Lord. It's that simple. He didn't say honor them, but da 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 da. It's a period. When you do this, this pleases the Lord, and you can see that you may live longer. And that will also help build that foundation for the next stage of your life. And with that, you can apply it in the rest of your life as well. For the married man, this is the Bible verse that I have at my home. Joshua 24, verse 15. Can we go to that one? Joshua says, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. This is the verse I go by for our home. Notice here, Joshua didn't just say, my house will serve the Lord. It's very easy for us to have our kids to serve the Lord, our house to serve the Lord, but for us, it's like, nah, I'm good. I'm the king of my own castle. I'll do what I want. I don't have to go to church. I don't have to go to Bible study. I don't have to have somebody keep me accountable. I'll do my own thing. But this is not what Joshua stated. He stated, as for me, he put himself first. He says, as for me and my house. He serves the Lord first. He leads his house. Men, if you want to have a home that fears and faithfully follow the Lord, it starts with you. It starts with us. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Joshua didn't just devote his house to God. He devoted himself to God. So for the married men, in Ephesians 5 tells us how we ought to love. And it's a type of sacrificial love. Let me give you some example how you can sacrifice love. One of the things you can sacrifice is your time. One of the things I've noticed that has been helping me is whenever my wife and I talk, I put down my phone and I give her my undivided attention. And maybe if I feel romantic enough, I'll look her in the eyes. Another example is you spend quality time with each other instead of doing what you want to do. You sacrifice that time. Another way you sacrifice is your comfort. And so here's what it looks like. You sacrifice your comfort, getting up in the middle of the night, taking care of that baby, changing that AC, doing something, getting her water. You sacrifice your comfort. Or you're serving her even when you had that long, rough day at work. Another way that you can love sacrificially is emotionally. How do you do that? Well, this is something that I didn't learn later in life, and this was my brother Gerald. He taught me this. With your wife, you just listen. It's that simple. For us guys, it's like, what? That's it? No, that's it. Just listen. Stop trying to fix everything. Stop trying to find a solution to what they have. They already have the answer. They just want to be heard. So just listen. Can I get an amen? A whole bunch of them smirking. Amen, Sammy? Another way is you can encourage her even when you're feeling discouraged yourself. So let me give you some example where you can apply it to your daily life. You change diaper without being asked. Doing the dishes without being told. Taking out the trash, doing laundry, this and that. The simple things without her telling you. You take care of the kids when she had a long day at work so she can have time to herself. So she can rest. You keep the kids in the living room. You take the kids out. You run errands with her or for her. Here's some harder ones. You defend her and speak well of her in public. That's a hard thing to do. I notice a lot of us, we have trouble with that. What we tend to do is we tend to one up another, try to be better than others, and try to outdo each other. Let's not do that. Let's talk well about our significant others. Let's defend them. Saying sorry when I'm wrong. Taking it to the next step, saying sorry when I'm right. And if you know, you know. You can choose kindness, daring disagreement, daring argument, because you have to keep this in mind. You guys are attacking the problems, not each other. Again, that list goes on and on, but those are the two things that I find that's very important. Oh, well, the second thing is the husband needs to do is to lead spiritually. Let's start at home. Are you helping and encouraging her reading her Bible? Are you helping her doing it daily? Are you reading it consistently? Are you praying together? Are you praying for each other? You know, one of the things that I talk to people all the time was recently Billy's wedding. That was something new that I haven't seen before, where they actually, after I guess the pastor's speech, they got together over in their little candle and they prayed together, and Billy was praying for her. You know, that's a perfect example of how a man ought to lead his family, how to lead his wife. Are you praying together? Are you praying for each other? Are you taking that initiative to talk to her about God? Do you lead her to go to church? Are you encouraging her to be on time, to be early? Are you going faithfully? And if you are, good. If you are not, continue and keep trying to do that. Take it to the next step. Are you serving your church? Because a husband cannot lead effectively if he's unwilling to go there himself. So this is the question that I personally ask myself every day. How can I serve my wife better today? How can I serve her better today? And to the fathers, let me give you some stats real quick. When a mother turns to Christ, there is a 17% chance her family will follow her. 17%. But when a father turns to Christ, there is a 93% chance that his family will follow. So in a way, if your family is not following God, it's not on her. That's on you. Let that sink in. Let's go to Ephesians 6, chapter 4, real quick. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger. Ooh, I'm pretty bad at that. But do what? But bring them up, how? In discipline and instruction of the Lord. A father is to teach and model. And teaching is my first point. Are you teaching your kids God's words? In Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5 and 7, can we get that slide so I can read it? You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. These words that I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children. You shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. It tells us what we should teach our children, how we should teach our children, and when we should teach them. We start with what. So if you are taking note, you can highlight this, okay? What do you teach your children? You teach them to love God with all their hearts, with all their soul, and with all their might. That's an easy thing to say, but a very hard thing to do. Basically, that tell us that you got to love God with everything you have, with everything you are. And in verse 7, it says, you shall teach them diligently to your children. This is not just once in a while. This is not just when you feel like it. This is not just on a Sunday or just the ride home from church. Or just not before bed, but teach them diligently. That's a big task. That's a hard task. You have to be intentional with everything you do. How do you teach them? Well, glad you asked. By talking to them. You talk to them about God. You tell them of God, and by your actions. When do you talk to them? So you shall teach them, and then you shall talk to them. When you sit in your house, so when you're sitting, and you're walking, and when you lie down, and when you rise. That's all the time. That is all the time. I open my mouth and let God uses me to teach my kids. You teach them in the morning to pray before they eat, to pray before they go to school. And at night, you pray together. You teach them and give thanks for the thing that they are thankful for. You teach them by reading Bible stories. You can teach them how to forgive and apologize and reconcile when they fight each other. You teach them that when they lie to each other, the truth matters and honesty matters. You teach them the things that they are afraid of. You teach them things that disappoints them. You teach them in their failures, even in their success. So my first point was to teach. The second point is to model, a model of a godly character. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1. Be imitators of me as I am of Christ. When you have kids, you will notice this is what they say a lot, especially younger kids. I don't know if that changes when they get older. But what they say is, Dad, watch me. Mom, watch me. Watch me. Watch me do this. Watch me do that. They just want your attention. But how about we reverse that? How about we tell our son, watch me? You tell him, son, watch me. Be an imitator of me. Do what I do. Watch how I follow Christ and follow Christ like I do. Your son might ask, Dad, how am I supposed to pray? Son, watch. Listen and watch me. Dad, how am I supposed to treat a woman when I grow up? Son, watch me. Watch how I love your mother. Dad, what does it mean to read your Bible daily? Son, watch me. What does it look like confessing your sins? What does it look like forgiving people? Son, watch me. Watch me. I ask fathers, are you living out your life that way? Because I promise you, and you know this, your kids are watching. The second part of this verse, as I am of Christ. This is a watchable dad. This is a dad that you want to imitate. So here's the problem. You don't have a choice. Your kids are going to watch you regardless if you imitate Christ or not. A godly father imitates Christ so that his family may know Christ, follow Christ, and glorify him. To sum it up this morning, if you haven't been listening or if you've been sleeping, this is what I hope you take away with this. If I have to give you one advice that fit all those stages of life in three words, it's keep pursuing God. And this is something that we will continue to do for the rest of our life. In Matthew 6, verse 33, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. What are all these things? It depends what stage of you are in life. It could be a significant other. It could be a wife, kids, jobs, financial success. It could be a high-paying career. We're seeking approvals from friends. We're seeking social media followers, likes, and all that stuff. We're seeking a big house, but not a home. We're seeking comfort, an easy life. Maybe respect from each other. And, you know, that list goes on. But you see, we tend to have this backward. We seek all these things first, But Christ says otherwise. He says, seek me first, and everything else will be added. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for who you are. We thank you for being the perfect Father. We thank you for your love and your model for us. I pray that you continue to help these young men to seek you first, to continue to honor the father and mother, and surround themselves with godly people. I pray for my married men that continue to love their wife just as you love your church. Continue to sacrifice for their wife just as you sacrifice for your church. For the fathers, I pray that all the fathers here reflect your love and be a leader that you call us to be. We thank you for today, for allowing and giving us the opportunity to be a father. We thank you for the child, for the children that you have entrusted us with. Help us to teach them about you. Help us to model for them, just as Christ modeled for us. We thank you for your blessing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Let's stand as we respond to that message.